From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Love and Rockets was one of the first comics in the alternative comics revolution of the 1980s. Written by the Hernandez brothers, or Los Bros, Gilbert and Jaime, Mexican-American baby boomers from Oxnard, California. They've been called the godfathers of the alternative comics movement. And Jaime Hernandez joins me. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So what was Oxnard like?
Kind of small town, Southern California, part agriculture, part beach. I mean, we had it all. We had a lot of actors living in beach houses out on the coast, and then all the Mexicans working in the fields.
I've read that when your mom was young, she was kept from reading comic books. So when she became a mother, she made sure that you could read all the comic books that you wanted. Is that true?
Yeah, she kind of encouraged it. It was also the comic book thing was also the kind of putting the kid in front of the TV to shut him up kind of thing. So that was it. It had two meanings, you know.
You and your brother are called the godfathers of the alternative comics movement, but you read alternative comics when you were a kid. There were alternative comics before you guys came along, right?
Sure. There was the underground movement,
yeah,
the Zap comics and stuff like that. And we also grew up in a time when comics were not just superheroes. You know, there was a big variety of subjects in the early 60s, you know, before the Marvel way took over. And if you wanted to be in the biz, you had to be like them, mm-hmm. you know. It's part of the reason we came about was because we didn't want to be there like them.
Yeah. You know? What were the underground comics that influenced you, that made you maybe want to try it?
Oh, well, of course, there was like Robert Crumb. And I remember reading Gilbert Shelton's Wonder Warthog as a kid, thinking, oh, this is kind of just a weird, mad kind of magazine, kind of, you know. And, you know, I was reading those as well as my superhero comics, mm-hmm. you know. And to us, it was, if it was comics, it was good. You know, it didn't matter the subject matter.
They were all good.
Yeah.
I've also heard that kind of obscure punk rock was kind of a big influence early on. Is that true?
Yeah. When I was a teenager, got into the punk thing in L.A., it just taught me that DIY thing, you know, do it yourself. You know, because I was raised on big concerts, going to see a big Queen concert or something like that. And then when I saw punk, it was like, wow, the band's standing right next to me kind of thing. You know, it was
intimacy.
I really liked that. And it just made us kind of cocky, but in the way of just gaining our confidence of like, well, we want to do these kind of comics and we're going to do them even if you tell us not to. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, it was more like, ooh, they're not going to let me draw these kind of comics. But by then I was like, I didn't care.
But if they could do a band, I could do a comic.
Yeah, sure. And you know, we did the whole band thing too, but we're better cartoonists than musicians, so.
You and your brother Gilbert published the first Love and Rockets, self-published it, when you were in your early 20s. But you were drawing comics before that, I assume, a lot.
Yeah, but not professionally. You know, mm-hmm. we were just doing it for ourselves and hoping that one day we could find someone to publish it. You know, I never knew if I'd make money or anything off it. I just wanted to do comics. I didn't want to have a real job. So Gilbert and I were just like hoping something would come out of it. But the market just had so little of the alternative part. There wasn't that much.
If you just joined us, I'm speaking with Jaime Hernandez, one of the Hernandez brothers. You know them for their comic books, Love and Rockets. When you got started, how long did it take for this comic book profession to kind of take hold for you? Was it a hobby for a long time? Did it take off right away?
When we self-published our first Love and Rockets, it wasn't a year till Fantagraphics discovered us. So we didn't really have time to fail. So it was pretty much overnight.
Where'd the name come from, Love and Rockets?
We were looking for a title for our comic, and Gilbert was throwing words together like he was thinking about. Blue Food was one of the titles. And then he wanted the emotional and the technological combined, so he put the two words together, and we kind of voted, said, we like this title. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was it.
Now, I've seen some of your books, and there's Gilbert's comics, and there's Jaime's comics. So what's the – how do you work together? Do you critique one another's work, or what's the – where do you come together on it?
We've always just worked side by side. We've never really collaborated in Love and Rockets. I mean, you know, he would say, I have 40 pages this issue, and I would take up the rest, you know, basically that. I think just us being brothers, it's kind of that magical thing that we kind of link together, you know, where, because people have always said our work complements each other. You know, that was never the plan, but I'm glad it worked out that way.
Now, I've worked a little with my brothers, but it was not very easy to work with your brothers. The family connection, the working thing sometimes doesn't work out. Has that been a benefit to be brothers working together? Has it been a struggle, a little bit of both?
I guess Gilbert and I did the fighting when in our childhood, so all that was gone by then. You know, mm-hmm. It's been very easy to work with him. You know, it's never been like, you know, fist fights behind closed doors kind of thing with us.
Talk a little bit about some of your characters and where they came from. I mean, Maggie and Hopi, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Maggie and Hopi, perhaps the best known. Where do they come from?
Maggie originally was just a character I created in high school to do stories about, whether I wanted her in outer space or trying to look for a job. But as my life was changing, I got into the punk thing. She started to change. Her hair got shorter. She started to dress differently, you know, and things like that. And I always wanted Maggie to have her partner in crime. I wanted my Betty and Veronica. And so I created Hopi as her partner. And Hopi actually came from the whole punk scene, the whole look of women, how I saw women were dressed and the way they wore their hair and stuff like that. And their attitude. So I said, okay, all my stories are going to be centered around these two girls. And that's how I created a world around them, their friends and where they lived. And everything came basically from these two girls who I wasn't sure at first if they should be lovers or not. And I ended up that they did on and off again, lovers. And that came from, because when we started doing this comic, there was so much stuff in regular comics that was not being explored and that was happening in the real world. So we put in, you know, different race, different genders, you know, we threw all that in there because it was so easy, because comics was so void of that, you know, stuff. And we thought, and if they get mad at us for doing this kind of stuff, you know, then we know we're doing something right, you know.
Was it hard for you as a man to write and draw two lesbian characters?
It wasn't hard for me, but I didn't know if I was doing anything right. I knew when I was covering the punk scene, I lived it and saw it, so I knew what I was doing there. But I always wondered, like, I wonder if they'll like my women characters. Will they think I'm sexist? Will they, you know, this and that? And the first time a woman came up to me and said, I really like your comics because I love the way you do women. I went, bang, okay. I'm not looking back.
Yeah. Why do you suppose that came from you? Why do you suppose you're able to do women characters, these two women characters that you've done for decades now that women can relate to?
It's that one's always hard to answer, but I just think I'm observant. You know, I just, it started out just being fair. You know, I just want to treat women with respect, blah, 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 blah. And then when they started telling me that, wow, you really know women really well, I was like, I do? You know, you know, I mean, I'm doing my best,
yeah.
But I didn't know I had this kind of insight thing, you know, and, but I felt really good about it. And then over the years, I would hear different stories, like because our father died when we were very young and we were raised by our mother mostly. And we saw the world through her eyes, I guess, mm-hmm. you know. And then years later, my wife said that I was the most feminine straight male she's ever known. You know,
you took it as a compliment.
I did. And I was like, wow. I it's the stuff I just never knew. I just was just trying to do it right, you know.
My armchair psychology would say because you were raised by your mother. You
yeah.
understood her closely. Sure. Jaime Hernandez is my guest. You've probably read the comic Love and Rockets, which is celebrating its 30th year. but not uninterrupted. You stopped publication of Love and Rockets back in 1996, and then you restarted it. What was going on there?
We were kind of burned out on the continuity that was building after 50 issues of the first run, and we just wanted some kind of break, and we just said, let's just do something else. And it was basically we just did separate comics. We just did them separately. But I was doing the same work. I mean, so it didn't feel like a break, but it did feel like a breath of fresh air, just getting away from doing the next Love and Rockets, the next one, the next one.
Were they as successful, or was part of the reason to go back to Love and Rockets is that people really liked that and you were ready to go back to it?
Tell you the truth, we went back to Love and Rockets for financial reasons. We found out that a lot of people read our comic because they followed the title. It was kind of like, you know, people would go into the comic store and say, you know, where's the new Love and Rockets? And they go, oh, they don't do that anymore. But look at these other titles they do. And they'd go, where's Love and Rockets? And we went, uh-oh, okay. You know, and I wasn't too, it wasn't too big a blow to my ego.
Sure.
It was kind of like, well, I'm doing the same material anyway.
Well, same characters, but you've aged the characters, right? They've changed over the years.
Yeah, yeah. That was just something my brother and I wanted to do, you know, because aging them was kind of a challenge for us and just to see where the characters are going. And I like aging them because that means they got a past and they got a present and a future. And I like to see where they're going because the older I get, my characters are growing with me. And I say, okay, I just turned 50. That means you're about 45. So we'll see where you are in your life. Where am I in my life right now? Okay. All right. You know, yeah. And that's the way I look at it.
I mean, how about Love and Rockets fans? Are they also aging with you and the comic book characters, or a lot of young people who are getting into it?
I hear from a lot of fans that say they've been with us since the beginning. You know, some that came a little later than that. But I'm finding a lot of fans are new because Fantagraphics has the work reprinted. We're constantly in print, the old material and the new material. And I've got a lot of new fans who weren't born when this thing came out, you know, and that's kind of exciting.
Well, a lot of what you were doing was reacting to what was going on in society around you, and that's kind of changed over the years. So do you think that what's going on inside the comic books reflects what's going on in society now? A lot of what you started to do is try to talk about cross-culturalism, to talk about women that weren't being talked about in comic books. Well, that situation has changed a lot over the years for women and for comic books. Is that changing for you too?
Yeah, sure. I guess mostly nowadays the characters just talk about how old they are, you know, like, remember when we were young, you know, and it's kind of like, hey, gee, that's the stuff I talk about.
Have they start talking about their ailments yet? Because that's what happens when you get older, too. Oh, my back.
Sure. You know, and like I was saying, it's a lot of fun watching them grow old because I never thought they would ever get there. You know, I always hoped that, you know, maybe one day my characters will be 50 years old, but I never looked that far, you know, in the future. And now that I'm here, I'm just happy I'm allowed to still do it, you know.
Well, Jaime Hernandez, you've kind of alluded to it in that answer, but how do you keep it fresh for yourself? You did take a break back in 96 because you wanted to try some other things. How do you keep Love and Rockets fresh for you?
I think what does help is that a 45-year-old Maggie reacts differently to the same situation a 20-year-old Maggie does. So I can kind of repeat stories, well, disguised, but the characters, I know them so well that an older Maggie would not react to a situation the same way she did then, and that takes the story in a whole different direction. So that helps a lot, that they are old, I'm old.
So many comic books have turned into movies. Has there been any interest in making a movie out of Love and Rockets?
Oh yeah, we've done the talk, and they still come once in a while. Sometimes I just wonder if they know what they're getting into, you know, because it's like, okay, what's it about? It's about these Mexican kids in Southern California. What else? That's it.
But you're doing work other places. I've been seeing your illustrations in The New Yorker. You did an illustration for an article on asteroids and Juno Diaz's fiction. Yeah. That must be a real change for you. How does that work for you to do an illustration for an article or a story?
Tell you the truth, it's for money.
Yeah.
You know, but I do enjoy kind of getting out of the comic thing once in a while and just doing something that I can turn over pretty quick, you know, just an illustration. Because, you know, when I'm doing comics, I'm married to that thing for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, for a long period of time. And doing an illustration, single illustration in a week, it's kind of a fresh thing.
Sure.
For me. I just did for the New York Times, a cover of Paul Ryan that got very popular because it was right when the mm-hmm. elections were happening. And I was like, hey, and all I had to do was draw him. And all these people just like, oh, I love that cover because I hate him or I love him or, you know, whatever.
Well, Jaime Hernandez, 30 years. Did the young Jaime Hernandez, could he have imagined himself being Jaime Hernandez 30 years later still doing Love and Rockets?
Nobody hoped. I always hoped I would. I just always wished I could be one of those old cartoonists that I admired, that like Charles Schulz, who did it for 50 years.
You're getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a ways to go, but, you know.
Jaime Hernandez with his brother, Gilbert. They do Love and Rockets. Thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's KUOW 94.9 Seattle.